Jimmy, you have lived in Israel off and on for how many years now?
20 years.
20 years.
Yes, sir. We got there 3 days before the Scuds, by the way.
Wow.
Back in 1991, suffered through 39 Scud attacks from Saddam Hussein. But that, Gary, developed a relationship between Judy and myself and the Jewish people. Hmm. They were excited about Christians coming in to stand with them in a time of trouble. And that's how the Lord opened the door for us to make contact with many of the people there in Israel. And I had to go in as a journalist. You can't go in as a missionary. I wanted to establish a church. I did that. Mm-hmm. Church started with about 6 people, running over 400 people today. But I had to be able to get a visa to stay in the country. And I did that because I'm a fully credentialed journalist, and we did the journalistic work. And you know, that was God's plan too, Gary, because he then allowed us to have contact with all of the prime ministers since then, the foreign ministers, the military personnel, the mayors of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We went over and interviewed King Hussein and Yasser Arafat. Some of these things have really been exciting, not because of who I am, but because of what God allowed me to be. God's plan is always the best, and it's
Amen.
Great to follow his way.
I love it.
Yes.
Now, the reason Jimmy is here today, and before we sat down in this studio, I said, Jimmy, no holds barred. I want you to tell us what's really going on in Israel so that all of us will know. He's very familiar with the locale, with the people. He's very familiar with Scripture. Believe me, he's familiar with prophetic Scripture. He believes, as I do, he is a premillennial, he is pre-tribulational, he's a dispensational Bible teacher who knows the Scriptures backward and forward. And Jimmy, what's happening in Israel right now that people should know about?
Let me just say what the Prime Minister said. The number one enemy and threat to the Jewish state of Israel today would be the Iranian development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. That's number one on the agenda for the leadership of Israel. In fact, in recent weeks, they've been talking about a scenario that would have the Israeli Defense Force release their F-16s, get over the airspace of Iran, and endeavor to try to take out the area, the operations for this development of this nuclear weapon of mass destruction. It's called a preemptive strike. They did it back in the 80s. They went into Iraq and took out that nuclear reactor. And in fact, the F-16s went in, took out the reactor, the nuclear plant there, and were on the landing fields there in Israel before most of the world even knew about it.
Oh, I remember one of the most brilliant aerial assaults in history.
Unbelievable. Now, they are planning to do something similar. There is some conversation that, indeed, that airspace over Iran may be shut down if Russia gives those S-300s to the Iranians. The Iranians have already paid for them. The Russians have not delivered yet. But if, indeed, that airspace was closed up so the F-16s could not get in, then they have the submarines, the nuclear submarines, which they purchased from Germany. They can put them in the Persian Gulf and do the attack as well. In fact, when I was talking to Prime Minister Netanyahu, he made the statement that there are two red lines as it relates to this preemptive attack. The number one red line would be if indeed Russia does give those S-300s, the ground-to-air anti-aircraft missiles, to the Iranians, they would not be able to go in. So they'd have to do that before the Russians delivered those vessels, those missiles. Now, the other red line, meaning that indeed Israel's going to go if this is happening, if indeed the Mossad, the intelligence community, and or the military intelligence community, they have two different agencies there in Israel. The Mossad is under the civilian leadership, and the military intelligence, of course, under the Ministry of Defense. And the recent former head of that organization, the chief of military intelligence, said, right this minute, as we are doing this telecast, the Iranians have enough material to make 4 or 5 nuclear weapons of mass destruction. And so Netanyahu told me that if his intelligence community tells him this is the situation, they'll have to go in. There's been a lot of conversation. The United States is very much concerned. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff just said recently in Washington, I don't believe the Israelis are going to tell us if and when they're going to go in, so we may be blinded by what's going on. A new report by the American Enterprise Institute said that Israel has less than 1 year to deal with this situation, and they're giving that report to the Defense Department here in America. They're going to have to make some decisions in the next year as well.
And, Jimmy, I read in the Mideast news services, two or three news services reported that those bombs being built by the Iranians are not field-grade weapons. Those are very large, high-yield nuclear weapons, which could wipe out Israel.
And they had the delivery system, Gary, to do that. These Shahab-3s have a range that would hit any target in Israel. And so the Israelis have to be prepared for what's going to happen. Everybody's been talking about the Russians, the Chinese are trying to tell the Israelis, don't get involved in doing this, don't do a preemptive strike, it's not the way to go. But the Israelis, when they start talking about it in public, you know that something is coming about. Most of the policy on something like this in the Israeli government is to do it when people least expect it, and when their attention is not going to be drawn to what happened. They don't want the attention. Just want the thing taken care of. And at the same time, if you look at Iran and what's going on, the Ayatollah has put the Revolutionary Guard on a war standing. They have moved the Shahab missiles, these long-range missiles, which could take a nuclear warhead and deliver it to Israel. They moved them to secret locations. They've taken the Iranian Air Force, broken them up into units, quick response units, to deal with any attack that may happen from America, from Israel, probably from Israel. In addition to that, they have threatened that if they have a preemptive strike, they will send 150,000 missiles at Israel. Now, that's the number they use. I think they're beating their chest on this one. It's a bit braggadocious. But they're serious about the situation. They said they'll fight in the streets of Tel Aviv if they have to. And there are 30,000 Revolutionary Guard who have volunteered to be suicide bombers. And they said that they will come through Syria into the Golan Heights and then spread out across Israel, committing suicide attacks on the Israeli body politic. This thing is serious. That's the number one threat that's unfolding right now in Israel.
Now, as if that weren't enough, there are other things happening in the Mideast, too. And let's talk about Egypt for a minute. We're looking at a kind of a pinchers. Up to the northeast, you have Iran, and down to the south of Israel, you have things happening in Egypt that are definitely destabilizing, right?
And what is also so interesting in that, I'll get to Egypt, but let me tell you, the surrogate for the Revolutionary Guard is Hezbollah there in southern Lebanon at Israel's northern border. The surrogate for the Muslim Brotherhood, the granddaddy of all Islamic terrorist organizations, Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So you've got the picture of Egypt and Iran, but you've got their surrogates right on your borders, or within your borders, ready to carry out your command as well. This Egyptian situation is something else. When they took down Hosni Mubarak, who had been the president of Egypt for 32 years, it was just a terrible report for the Israeli government to hear. Shimon Peres, now he's not a hawk by any means of the imagination.
True.
He's a dove if there ever was one. But he said Hosni Mubarak was the best friend that Israel ever had. During that 32 years when Hosni Mubarak, I'm not saying he's a good man. I'm not saying he was not a dictator. I'm simply saying for the Israelis, he was a very good friend because there was no major Middle Eastern war. Benjamin Netanyahu said the best friend we had was Hosni Mubarak. He was taken down, and the United States government, the Obama administration, played a role in encouraging these demonstrators. Didn't know who they were, but they encouraged them to help take down Hosni Mubarak within 6 months of the time when our president stood up and praised Hosni Mubarak as the leader of the largest Arab country in the world, the country of Egypt. This Muslim Brotherhood, they won, a couple of weeks ago, they won the first round in the parliamentary elections. They got, I think, somewhere in the area of about 37% to 40% of the vote. The Salafi, which are more radical than the Muslim Brotherhood, they got 25%. You're talking about in the area of 62% to 65% of the vote in the first couple of rounds for the parliament. That will be the legislative body that controls the Egyptian government. The presidential elections will not take place until June or July of next year. But the Muslim, who is the Muslim Brotherhood? Itamar Marcus, who heads up the Palestinian Media Watch, he and one of his associates translated the book about the Muslim Brotherhood, former leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, telling what the philosophy of the Muslim Brotherhood is. They came into existence in the late 20s. They fathered or birthed people like Yasser Arafat. Mm. He was the one who was the number one terrorist in the world for a number of years. Also, Sheikh Yassin. He was the blind sheikh that came into the Gaza Strip and established Hamas about 22 years ago. We're talking about radical Islamic terror organizations and personalities. Al-Sawari, he was the one who led the attack against Anwar Sadat after Egypt and Israel signed the peace treaty back in 1979. He killed Anwar Sadat, and then he got associated with a man named Osama bin Laden, became his number two. When they took out Osama bin Laden, Al-Sawari out of Egypt, a medical doctor, a product of the Muslim Brotherhood, is now the head of Al-Qaeda. They could take over. They've already said they use the social media. They use Facebook. They use Twitter to get the information out that when they come to power, they're going to be an Islamic Republic, number one. Number two, they're going to dissolve the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt. And number three, they're going after the Zionist state. This is the situation at Israel's southern border, and all fits into Bible prophecy.
And I think we all know that they are not only anti-Zionist, they are anti-Jew. They would like to wipe out every single Jew on the face of the earth, carrying out what used to be called the final solution,
yes,
World War II. Where would you like to go next, Jimmy?
I think we need to look at Syria. You see, we talked about the Iranian threat that is number one as far as the Israelis are concerned. At their southern border, they have to be very much concerned about the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power. Prime Minister Netanyahu said it's going to be a disaster when we have at our southern border a people who want to destroy us. As you said, wipe out the Jewish people, take care of the final solution. But at Israel's northern border, then you have the Syrians. Bashar Assad going through some terrible times. He himself responsible for giving the orders to his military to kill the opposition. And over 4,000 of his people, of Syrians, have been killed by the military led by Bashar Assad, the president. You've got to remember, back in the 80s, his father, Hafez al-Assad, had a problem, had an uprising similar to what's going on. And guess where it was focused? Houma. Houma, the location where all this uprising is taking place. He killed 10,000 Syrians there, took the bulldozers in, just bulldozed them into the ground and built buildings on top of these dead bodies.
Wow.
Well, Bashar Assad has been trying to sustain his leadership by doing everything he can to get rid of the opposition. And at the same time, there was a recent special done by Barbara Walters on ABC where she interviewed, the only interview that I know from a Western journalist, she interviewed Bashar Assad there in Syria, in Damascus. And he said, I didn't know these things were going on. He just claimed innocent to anything that's going on. You've got the Arab League against Bashar Assad. You've got the United States now starting to be vocal about it. You've got the European Union putting sanctions in place. Well, he has, and what the Israelis are so much concerned about, Gary, is that if he gets so much pressure from everybody else in the world, as he said he would do, he will move into the Golan Heights. Remember, the Israelis were able to capture the Golan Heights and put up a buffer zone to move the Syrians back away from the borders of Israel. Bashar Assad said, we'll move into the Golan Heights and we'll use the Golan Heights as a launch pad to attack Tel Aviv. And so what many are concerned about in the Middle East is that if indeed this continues on, if there is a problem as it relates to pressure, Assad said, you send in NATO like they did in Libya, we'll attack Tel Aviv. So that's the situation. We've got to watch that very closely. But let me just give you this before you ask the next question.
Okay.
What's so interesting? Daniel 11, verses 40 to 43. Talks about the three nations that will make a move against Israel. There will be an alignment of nations. That's Ezekiel 38. But Daniel 11 is a parallel passage. And the first three nations to make a move against Israel will be Syria, Egypt, and Libya. There on the horizon, coming towards Israel. The Muslim Brotherhood involved in all three situations, and they're trying to overthrow the king, the monarchy in Jordan now, King Abdullah. We are seeing Bible prophecy right at the point of fulfillment.
Wow. Well, I was about to throw another element into the mix and get your reaction to that. Recently, a Saudi prince acting as foreign minister there in Bahrain essentially said they see Israel invading Iran, wiping out Iran, and there's sort of a cheering squad for the Israelis.
Isn't that interesting? I saw that, the emir there in Dubai, he was being interviewed by a CNN reporter. I watched that interview very closely. And what he said, he reversed Ahmadinejad's statement. Remember, Ahmadinejad, for the last 2 years, has been saying, we've got to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, that her name be forgotten forever. That's almost a quote from the book of Psalm, chapter 83, verse 4, in fact.
Yes, but that's correct.
This emir over there in Dubai reversed that and said, hey, Iran better pay attention. They attack Israel, Israel will wipe them off the face of the earth. But, you know, when you go to Ezekiel chapter 38, those passages in Ezekiel are so key. You and I were talking about it before the program. They're very, very key. You see Vladimir Putin, who is putting himself in a position, wanting to become the king of Russia. I say that. He wants to become the president for the next 12 years.
Right.
But you know what Russia has just done? They recently delivered S-300s, these ground-to-air missiles, to Syria. And next March, they are going to dock Russian warships at Tartus, which is the docking headquarters for the Russian Navy, has been over the years. They're moving in there next spring. And so that is coming into focus much. That's Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 2. Magog is Russia. You go down to verse 5, Persia. So 1936, they called it Persia. Today they call it Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. Mm-hmm. And then you look there, there's Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan, there's Libya in verse 5 and verse 6, and then back in verse 2, Meshech Tubal, Gomer Togarma. If you study biblical geography, you know that happens to be what the area of modern-day Turkey was divided in the biblical times. And Tayyip Erdogan wants to be the pan-Islamic leader. He wants to start. Remember, that's where Islam stopped its move.
Right.
That's where they were shut down when the Ottoman Empire was stopped. They want to continue their move across the world and take over and tie up Erdogan. So all of these players are on the scene. They're all talked about in Ezekiel 38.
This brings Ezekiel 38 to life because this man, very difficult to pronounce his name, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who's Prime Minister of Turkey, who ever heard of him?
Yeah.
And suddenly he's a major player along with the United States.
And he's always cutting at Israel. They broke total relations there recently. He stood with the Palestinians. He has gone into the Gaza Strip and met with the leadership of Hamas down there. Hamas, the Islamic terror organization that wants to set up a worldwide caliphate, a worldwide kingdom, and all that's going on in Egypt. Let me just tell you, the other day they had a meeting in Cairo. Not one of the demonstrations there in the square, but this was a side meeting over at the largest mosque in Cairo. And the leader of that mosque, his name slips me right now, but he's the number one Sunni Muslim in the world. He called for 1 million Muslim men to march on Jerusalem. He said the Israelis are Judaizing Jerusalem. Of course, that's where the temple's going to be put up. We might want to mention some of the activities there in a moment. But that's where they're focusing on now, the city of Jerusalem, 1 million Muslims to come in there. And that's the kind of incitement that's going on.
Now, I would like to get your response to this, because Jimmy lives in Israel, has, as you've heard him say, for the past 20 years on and off. And he has a feel for the Israeli man on the street. And I'd like to know, just from your lips, what does the Israeli man on the street think about all this? If it were me, you know, I'd be trying to find a way to keep to protect myself in light of coming events. How are the Israelis handling all this?
The man on the street hears information from his leadership, the Israeli government, the military. You've got to remember, every young man from 18 years of age to 45 years of age has to serve in the Israeli Defense Force for 3 years originally, and then for every year, 1 month out of that year. So they have a connection to knowing what's going on in the military. They get updates all along the way. They don't quite understand Bible prophecy, the Ezekiel 38 passage, but they've heard about Gog and Magog. And so they talk about it, not knowing quite what they're talking about. But they have to realize, recently the foreign minister, Viktor Lieberman, went into Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin. He made the statement, we don't like you giving these S-300s to Syria. We don't like the fact you're going to put your warships on the Mediterranean coast in Syria. We don't like the fact that you've given your technology and technicians over to the Iranians to develop this weapon that they threaten to wipe us off the earth with. So all the people, all the body politic of Israel is aware of the scripture, of prophecy. In fact, remember, last year, the prime minister, Netanyahu, met with Putin and Medvedev, the president and the prime minister, there in Moscow, and he said Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled. That was his statement.
Wow.
He told the Russian leaders, Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled. That's the return of the Jews to the land. When you get over to chapter 38 and verse 8 says, they will return and they will dwell safely. Verse 11 says, they will live in unwalled villages. I think it's a false security that they think they have because they think, and they are a powerful military organization. I'm not denying that. But when you take the entire coalition mentioned in Ezekiel 38, Daniel 11, Psalm 83, and attack Israel, somebody's going to have to intercede, and somebody will. The Lord will intercede and take out these enemies.
Well, and we know about that Isaiah 17 prophecy, the flattening of Syria. Syria will be taken away from being a city at all, which has never happened.
And you know what? Isn't that interesting? Just a few moments ago, I said the first three that make the move, Syria, Egypt, Libya.
Yes.
Syria is going to be dealt with when they attack Israel. Damascus, Isaiah 17, will be fulfilled.
Well, you better keep abreast of events in the Middle East and read your Bible. What should we be looking for?
We should be looking for the rapture of the church.
Oh.
The shot when Jesus calls us up to be with him. Make sure you're prepared. You're living productively and pure in your existence, in your Christ life, because he's coming. It could be today that shout could come for us to join him in the air.
And you know what? The rapture of the church is a reality. It's not some pie in the sky. It's God's plan,
yes.
God's program.